What keeps you up late at night? Is it worrying about how you fit into an accountable care organization? Or maybe wondering, where's that next referral going to come from? As long as what's keeping you up at night isn't bad pizza, our next guest should be able to help. Successful businessman and clinic owner and now consultant, Jeff Ostrowski joins us on this next episode of PT Talker. We hope you'll stay tuned and take a listen.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Back again with me for another episode of PT Talker is Jeff Ostrowski. He is the CEO and founding partner of XL Physical Therapy, located in Philadelphia. Welcome, everybody, back to PT Talker, and welcome, Jeff, back for your second time with us today.
Good to be with you. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, it's great to have you back. I got a lot of good feedback from our discussion where we talked a lot about last time your thoughts. And I might just mention you have started XL Consulting, which you're willing to get out there now and share your thoughts and expertise and experience with other clinicians who are looking for expertise. So I want to congratulate you on starting that, on starting your consulting company. And let's just ask, how's it going so far?
Oh, we're really just getting started. You know, we've been at it probably for about a year now, and you know, we've had some clients and we've had some good success so far. We have a big consulting event planned for January 2011. We have about four or five practice owners and some of their staff coming into our office in Philadelphia to spend about a week with us working on some projects, kind of group projects. So yeah, it's a big deal for us. We're in the midst of preparing for that right now, and you know, looking forward to it.
Good for you. And in your spare time, I just might mention for our listeners that you own 13 clinics in the Philadelphia area. So you are managing those and probably drawing on that experience in order to help future clients in your consulting business, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we've been at it for over 20 years now. So yeah, we've been around the block, and you know, we've made a lot of mistakes and did a lot of fixed them all up, and we're hoping to help people not kind of duplicate the mistakes that we've made and learn our best practices. And you know, my attitude is, if all physical therapists are doing well, it's great for the profession.
Yeah.
You know, it's the tie rises, all the boats rise.
That's right.
President Kennedy said back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Well, last week we talked about your thoughts on how therapists, all members of the team, need to be productive, and certainly anyone can go back and listen to that. But today I wanted to direct our conversation more towards your thoughts regarding marketing. One of the comments that you made to me off the air was that a lot of your peers worry about, where is that next patient coming from? And we all know healthcare is changing, and I was just curious if you could kind of maybe share some of your thoughts on how any of our listeners out there might direct their marketing in order to get those referrals.
Yeah, well, that is the question, you know, that keeps us up at night. You know, you're always walking into the clinic the next day thinking, gosh, are any new patients gonna be referred today? And it gets a lot of attention, and you know, there's definitely some successful strategies, time-tested strategies that work. I think it probably starts, maybe this isn't even necessary to say, because I think most of us get it at this point, but it really does start with, you know, a quality product and a great experience for patients, you know, because you can have all the bells and whistles in a fancy brochure and a beautiful center and nice equipment and all the rest, but if you're really not putting out a, you know, a superior product in terms of, you know, a great outcome for a patient, and a patient who's really happy about the experience that they had and willing to tell other people about it, willing to tell their physician about it, willing to come back if they have another injury, then all that other stuff is not really going to be an enduring business model, you know. So I think it's really important for us to invest, you know, in the therapists in our practices, invest in our own skills as clinicians, but probably even equally important, I guess, maybe I would say more important, but equally important to that is you know, the communication abilities and the ability to reach people, to touch people, to build relationships, to, you know, have a little bit of charisma, you know.
Uh-huh.
so that you know, people like you, because you know, they do endure significant inconveniences to come there, and they have to pay to come, and so it really has to be a well-rounded experience for them, and it has to be something that differentiates you as a provider from all the other, you know, physical therapy providers and others, you know, that are in the sort of rehab field. I just used air finger quotes there to say rehab, you know, because you have a lot of personal trainers and chiropractors and so on that, you know, we do sort of compete with for the attention from physicians and patients. So you know, you got to be recognized as being superior, and that's really where the momentum builds, because once the physician starts to, you know, see that you do it differently and better, then you know, you've really got a home run. That's a lasting, you know, referral relationship, and mm-hmm. that's really what we're all after.
Right. Now, any physical therapist can certainly go in to a doctor's office, a potential referral, and say, you know, we give quality care and our staff is very courteous and we'll get patients within, you know, X number of, I don't know, hours, days from when they call. But do you have some tips or some things that you're doing that might be above and beyond those kind of basics that our listeners might already be doing?
Yeah. Well, Jeff, I think that what you just described right there would probably be the wrong way to do it, to be quite honest with you. When you're going in there and you're sort of selling, you know, features and benefits like that, I don't know, my experience is that most physicians just tune that stuff out, because that's what they always hear. You know, they hear
yeah.
about how good someone is or what they have or what they can do. And we've had much better success approaching it, you know, from a slightly different perspective, which is really like what finding out what the physician is looking for, like how can you help them, what do they need, what are they having trouble with, what do they want, and these sorts of things. You know, when you're meeting someone's needs, or at least you're expressing interest in helping them, changes the dynamic subtly, perhaps, but it does change it to more of like we're working together on something, as opposed to I'm just getting you to send me patients,
yeah.
you know, type of thing. You know, those sorts of relationships that are built on more like what have you done for me lately type of stuff, or, you know, fancy brochure, you know, are not really enduring relationships. So that's really the different approach that we take. I want to give credit. I learned that from a company many years ago that helped us, a consultant. So I'm just sort of paying it forward.
Good.
to the people that I talk to now. And again, I think, you know, most contemporary, you know, practice owners and even in business in general, you know, the people get it, that it's a relationship that really drives, you know, business, as opposed to, you know, selling, like hard selling someone something, or you know, saying how great you are without really having the backup, you know, to do so. So
sure.
It's kind of how it works now.
Yeah.
Most of us get that.
Right. And so I'm assuming you have some of those long-term relationships in Philadelphia that where those physicians appreciate that you're doing things that help them to get better outcomes, or, you know, just help them to look good in their patients' eyes, whatever it might be.
Yeah, you know, we have probably over 1,000 physicians refer patients to us. I think we had, you know, over 1,000 last year, and of course, not all of them are repeat, you know, referral relationships. We have, you know, probably several hundred that, you know, refer regularly to us and have done so for a long time, and some of them refer, you know, a lot. Well, you know, in fact, one of our great successes a couple of years ago was we had a spine specialist, an interventional physiatrist in Philadelphia, who, golly, this guy would send us several hundred patients a year. I mean, he was really a fantastic referral source, and he was great to work with. He was a really top-notch physician. But he left the area, you know, and my goodness, I mean, you know, it was a devastating, you know, moment for us, because he was such an important referral source. But it was just a wake-up call for us that we better get out there and not take any of these relationships for granted. And, in fact, that year that he left, we actually increased the number of referrals that we got that year over the last year by one of the largest amounts we had ever done, because it was just a reality check. Like, you can't have your whole practice hinging on, you know, one or two referral sources, because, geez, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So a nice broad, you know, referral base is really important, and that just requires a lot of work. You got to get out there, you got to meet people, you know, you got to talk to them, you got to find creative ways to get in their offices, and you know, and that sort of thing.
That's right. Let's turn real quick, if we can, the amount of time we have left. ACOs, that term is something that's being thrown around quite a bit. In the Obama healthcare plan, ACOs are an important part of that. Can you just talk a little bit about how you are maybe looking at that in as it pertains to physical therapy?
Well, yeah, the accountable care organizations, this is a hot topic. I was just at the APTA private practice section meeting back in November, and there were several workshops on ACOs. A lot of discussion about, you know, what the impact of those are going to be on private practice physical therapy. And people are, you know, I think people are concerned about what it means. You know, it appears that the way it's going to work, and I'm not an expert by any stretch at this point, but it appears the way it's going to work is that hospital systems or large, you know, groups will be receiving money from the federal government to handle a certain amount of covered lives in an area, and they'll be responsible for the entire, you know, episode of care for all the patients in their system, if you will. It's not unlike an HMO, except the difference would be that providers control the organization as opposed to it being a payer-controlled organization like an HMO. Now, just as a sort of an editorial comment, you know, the marketplace didn't really like HMOs because, you know, the incentive there was really to restrict access to care as a way to, you know, save money and increase profitability. And people didn't like that, and we've seen those actually decrease in our market over the years. So whether or not it's a concept that's really going to be bought, if you will, by the public remains to be seen. But nonetheless, you know, sort of the word on the street at this point is that it would behoove, you know, private practice owners to, you know, network with, you know, the larger hospital systems and medical groups and so forth in the area, so that they can be at the table when these organizations are built. There is also some consideration being given to having a larger practice, you know, more sites, more geographic coverage that you would be appealing to an ACO if and when it was formed. They would probably, I guess the idea would be, they would be more likely to do business with a site that had, you know, a practice that had multiple sites, mm-hmm. as opposed to a practice that just had one site. Right. And so that's kind of, you know, just very, very, very simply or very roughly stated kind of the state of thinking about these ACOs right
now.
Yeah.
Isn't, and the term accountable being a primary feature of the phrase, isn't there an emphasis on there being some results that come from these ACOs that the patient can hold someone accountable for their care as far as outcomes, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's the idea. It's that it's an evidence-based, you know, outcomes-driven entity, and you're basically the money that's paid to you from the federal agency or whatever. You're realizing profit if you're able to do it better and faster,
yeah,
than what the federal agency has laid out as whatever the standard of care is. So it really is an outcomes-driven thing. It's interesting, you know, one of the things that we're doing, to your point about outcomes, which is a good one, is that we're actually beginning, starting in January, participation in a big national physical therapy rehabilitation outcomes database.
Wonderful.
You know, so that if people come to us and they say, hey, what, how are you guys doing? You know, what are you doing? Are you doing it better than the next guy?
Yeah.
You know, we want to be able to say, yeah, here we are. You know, we want to be able to prove it. And,
right.
So I think that's an important thing, and the people sort of get their heads around that a little bit.
Yeah. Now, last week you mentioned faster wasn't always better, though. And I'm just wondering how we're going to, you know, bring both of those things. Certainly, getting someone better is great. Faster, I suppose, is good. But can you help me just get my mind around that? Because I know you mentioned something about faster last time.
Yeah, I call it the race to the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not always better. And that's the point I was making before about the HMOs back in the day. The idea there was to do it fast and do it with as little contact with the medical provider as possible, you know, because that's where your margin was. Mm-hmm. If you could sort of keep people out of your office, you would make money, and if you didn't, then you would lose on these contracts. So I think this is where, you know, the cost and the outcome really are important, because, you know, I'm not convinced that if you can do it in 6 visits as opposed to 10 that you're doing it better. You know, what's the likelihood that patient is going to be re-injured? Mm-hmm. What is the likelihood that patient who had only 6 visits has had the maximum return to function? You know, so these are the things that we have to measure, and we have to test, and we have to do research on. And faster and less is not always better. You know, I guess that's really the bottom line here.
Yeah, excellent points. All right. Well, unfortunately, this always happens to me, but we are out of time. And this has been very, very interesting. I know you also feel like finance is a big part of what private practice owners should be and practitioners should be paying attention to in this upcoming year as well. Maybe just speak real quickly to them.
Yeah, sure. You know, you just have to know your finances. You have to know your costs. You have to look for ways to gain efficiencies in there, because, you know, your payment from payers is going to definitely decrease. I don't think that's really that much in dispute. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to maintain profit margins and keep your doors open, you got to find ways to do it.
Yeah.
Cheaper and faster, and really starts with really detailed knowledge about your financial condition.
Right, and 2 years from now, 3 years from now, do you see things being relatively the same model, CPT codes, filling out insurance forms, or do you see this ACO thing really changing things for the physical therapy world?
No, I think we're hitched up to that CPT code model for as far as the eye can see.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if that changed.
Yeah,
you
okay.
know.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, very good. Excellent. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Jeff Ostrowski, who is the CEO and founding partner of XL Physical Therapy with 13 clinics in Philadelphia, and also the founder and head guy, I guess, the man with the information at XL Consulting, a new startup venture that he is delving into. And I want to thank you for your time today, Jeff.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. It's a pleasure being with you.
And let's see, we want to remind everybody that if you haven't done so yet, if you're a listener, you need to send out the word about PT Talker to your friends, peers, who might be able to take some of the information that we share, reminding you that we bring you a PT expert each and every week who shares something that we hope you'll use in the clinic that can make you a better practitioner, better business person, and all around just better physical therapist. So again, Jeff Ostrowski was our guest today. I want to say thanks for listening. And remind you that you can hear previous episodes on iTunes.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.